Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. I'm joined this week by Venkat, who's returned after a seasonal break after the World Test Championship. As usual, I'm your host, Srini. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thanks, Srini. How about you?
Yes, good. Thanks. I did a podcast, well, a very small episode last week before reviewing the India vs series. After not just our break, but also India's break, with no cricket in between. As I said in the episode, I know lots happened. I mean, obviously, a lot of the focus has been on the Ashes and the baseball and the otherwise from England.
Yeah.
Let's probably focus on now that, you know, India have returned on you know, the start of the WTC series. There's a few things, you know, I mentioned last week. I will pick your thoughts on that, you know, in terms of this one. So from what we want to probably cover on this episode of the podcast is look at the test, the key performers on the test on both sides.
Yeah.
And possibly, like, you know, look at the whole India's kind of WTC cycle. I give my thoughts, and I'll probably also have just your thoughts. Where do you want to start? Do you want to go with the WTC for overall series first or the test match?
Yeah, I'll go with WTC very quickly and then, you know, kind of segue into the West Indies tour, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine. So I'll pick, like, so some of the things that I said last week. So India, obviously, between now and 2025, have got six series, three home and three away. So they're playing, obviously, this West Indies series away, and then they're playing South Africa away, and then I think they're playing Australia away. In terms of the home series, it's England, Bangladesh, and New Zealand. Those three are the home series. More than kind of, you know, not so much looking at prediction of results on how the series will go, etc. I suppose my thoughts or questions to you are, like, you know, if you looked at the starting level of this match, the first one in the West Indies.
Yeah.
I think about those that are not there in the starting level of this test match who played the WTC final, and then the 2025 WTC final, irrespective of whether India makes or not. Or so it's almost, let's put it down as saying June 2025 is the final. How much difference do you see in the starting levels between the one that started in West Indies, the first test, and say a test match in June 2025, India starting 11?
Yeah, I would see a significant change. In terms of the core players, top of my mind, for one, Rahane is to be seen whether he would be there. So that is the immediate name, and probably Rohit Sharma if he decides to go for a change of guard. There will be a lot of newcomers. We have to wait and see if Pant gets fit and gets back to playing cricket, given the extent of his injury. Bumrah, for the same plight as well. I'm more positive about Bumrah than Pant. So some of the notable names, Rohit Sharma, Ajinkya Rahane, possibly, I don't see them, you know, staying on for another couple of more years.
I mean, the other two names that I had picked up was Ashwin. He's 35 now, isn't he? So is it likely to be 37 or is it 37 now and it's likely to be 39? But anyway, Ashwin was another one that I picked up. Will he still be around for 2 years time? Jaydev Unadkat, definitely. I don't see him being there for another 2 years. Well, Kohli himself. In 2 years' time, will he still be around playing test match? We'll probably talk about, you know, Kohli's sort of battle in this test itself when you look at the test match. But yeah, he's another one. Ravindra Jadeja was another one in terms of he's another couple of years older. Will he still be around?
Given the age difference between Ravi Jadeja, who's just turning 35 this December, versus Ashwin, who is turning 37 this September, I'm more positive about, I mean, I'm sure Jadeja would play, Given the number of wickets he's getting, his general fitness, it's just the question of if India land up a credible left-arm spinner, which then Jadeja's position would be, doubtful in the next couple of years. It's also to do with the player appetite, if they would want to continue or, want to become more of T20. I think for Ravi Jadeja, the T20 limited overs avenue is more available than somebody like Ashwin. I almost see Ashwin taking a Jimmy Anderson kind of position. The one thing, age is not in his side, but my God, the figures in terms of his performance in pitches like this, I'm sure. And also, I think India would definitely, if he's available, pick him for the next finals, if we do make it, because we've lost the two finals where he didn't play.
I think those are good points. I mean, the age-wise, again, like I said, I was thinking Jimmy Anderson's, he's 40, but he's a fast bowler. Ashwin's a spin.
Yeah.
So potentially, even at 39, he can still play, if he keeps fit, because...
Yeah.
While the demands are higher, but also the demands are not the same as fast bowler. And as for Ravi Jadeja, my feeling was he seemed to be a better bowler with Ashwin on the field, playing more as a second spinner rather than first spin the main spinner in the team.
Absolutely.
And clearly, Akshar Patel is probably a ready-made replacement for Ravindra Jadeja.
Yeah.
It's more, sort of the left arm one. It's more who's the replacement for Ashwin at the minute? I don't see anybody there to readily replace him as an off spinner.
Yeah, you're not going to. I mean, Ashwin is once in a generation bowler. he's definitely not somebody. I mean, you see the all time greats. You see the familiar names: Shane Warne, Muralidharan, Kumble. And then in the top five, in most of the figures, it's Ashwin. So he's definitely one of the best that India had fielded in a long, long time. One of the all-time greats, definitely. So,
yeah, I think, the interesting comparison, if you look about this, Todd Murphy slowly coming in place of Nathan Lyon. Yes, Nathan Lyon was the first choice spinner, as an off-spinner. Even when they played in India, Todd Murphy played as a second spinner, etc. So, and now that Nathan Lyon's out of the ashes, Todd Murphy is playing in as the first choice spinner. So there is a continuity. Yes, Todd Murphy is nowhere near Nathan Lyon, but as a finished article, but there is someone you can see. In Test match, I'm trying to think over the last few years. There isn't anybody who can, if Ashwin's not there, play in place of him. So it's probably something that India, in the domestic side of it, need to have a look at, especially the home series in Bangladesh and things like that, as to who they can bring in.
Yeah, if I think they need to have a chat with Ashwin and see if he wants to, what his plans are. Whether he wants to focus, take a break from limited over cricket, and then see if he wants to prolong his test career, just like James Anderson. Then you don't have to worry about a replacement for the next test cycle until 25. But if he doesn't do that, then he can't be, playing one day leagues and this and that. And then... also turn up for test. I think that would be a limiting factor in terms of the potential to get injuries and so on and so forth.
So that's probably the one. I mean, there's probably a few players you think of as maybe Ravi Bishnoi and the likes, but again, he's a leg spinner, so possibility of him. I'm trying to think of Jalaj Saxena, who played, I think, for Kerala, if I'm not wrong, but he's almost 36. So,
no.
Ranji Trophy records in terms of those who picked up last year
Yeah.
Gets, you know, Jalaj Saxena, but he's 36, so it'd be interesting to see who India go for. I mean,
I think Akshar Patel, if he bowls consistently well, he would be definitely a candidate, especially given his batting prowess as well. He's like for like in terms of Ashwin, in terms of fielding, not very well known for their fielding exploits, but batting and bowling. I do think that there is some value in getting Akshar Patel in that metal.
Yeah, here's an interesting start for you. So if you looked at the Ranji Trophy, last year in 2023, in terms of high wickets, etc., it's pretty much all of them are left-arm spinners.
Yeah.
Almost on the top, up until you reach, I think it's Akash Deep, etc., who's the medium. So it's all the spinners have taken a lot of wickets last year.
Yeah.
However, other than Jalaj Saxena, who is a leg break bowler, you have got everybody who are Mulani, Krishan Singha, Jadeja, Udesh, Nadeem, all left off spinners. So is there really an off spinner that's missing?
Yeah, there is. I think it's also what people are now wanting to develop as, right? I think it's also reacting to the conditions, the change in batting attitudes of people. If you're an off spinner, you're more likely to go for runs, is the general theory. So for you to be marketable, you'd be better off as a left-arm pacer or left-arm spin bowler, like Jadeja, Akshar Patel, rather than somebody who's like Ashwin or of that kind, or Nathan Lyon even.
It's interesting. We'll see how that progresses. I mean, the one other name, going back to our initial sort of conversation about who's missing, Cheteshwar Pujara.
Yeah, of course.
Tour of the West Indies. What's your thoughts? Do you think?
I mean, it's clearly signaling to him, saying, "Hey, guys, we have started to look beyond you." He was honestly struggling. We touched upon even in our last podcast as to some of his numbers were abysmal. I think it's the last throw of dice, last line of hope for Ajinkya Rahane. If he fails the series, I think I don't see Rahane playing test anymore. And so, coming back to Cheteshwar Pujara, I think, it's been a fantastic career.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic career, and the other side, I mean, which kind of actually segues into this test, given the fact Shubman Gill said he wants to bat at number 3, which is a replacement for Jadeja, and yes, Vijay Swal coming in, and what a debut he had, getting the 100, and he's kind of cemented his place for the next few, and also helps the fact that, it's a left arm, right arm. Left-hander and a right-hander to open is a good combination. When Rohit Sharma retires, depending on how successful he is at number 3, Shubman Gill can either move back and become 1 and 2 with him and Yashasvi Vijayaswal. It would be a good pairing for Longyear, or somebody else comes and takes the opening position.
Yeah, I do think that he's a kind of confusion. I think this guy clearly says that he wants to bat at 3 with Kohli on the 4. So, I mean, in the absence of Pujara, you have that vacancy that's been created. I do think, having watched Shubman Gill bat, I think he's more opener batsman. He can be the enforcer like the he's the enforcer almost on the in terms of the way he plays pace so comfortably, and then with Jaiswal it could be a really good test opening pair for a long time to come in test match cricket for India.
I mean, obviously, there is the option of Abhimanyu Iswaran as well. You know, he's obviously made the move from Tamil Nadu to Bengal.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's playing for Bengal. So he's another order. He's another, like, you know, top order batsman.
Contender, yeah.
Him and probably Vijay Swal, etc., were the ones. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits in maybe the later next year. Around the Bangladesh New Zealand tours, you know, at home, because by that time, hopefully, like, you know, the World Cup would have been done, and Rohit Sharma deciding what he wants to do, either moves away from ODI and just stays in the test. So those are some interesting options.
Yeah. I do think that Indian team in general needs a refresh. It does seem to be not delivering the results, you know, especially if you consider the ICC tournaments, our records have been really poor. So, you know, I think this World Cup, they wouldn't do any change. It's too close now. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, this series, if India win, you know, it's just papering over the cracks. I wouldn't really, like, you know, I know Rohit Sharma's got 100. It's nothing about Rohit Sharma, like, you know, not performing in or whatever, but it's just, like, you know, as you say, it needs a refresh. And it's also, like, you know, the team, both in the batting and the bowling, and is in a transition phase.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, like, you know, change of a different captain taking over. It's such a shame, like, you know, Rishabh Pant's accident. If he was around, you know, you could, there was a potential, like, you know, captain there in terms of transition and see how it goes. But I also see, for example, the likes of Shreyas Iyer coming back, you know. I think, however we look at it, like, you know, his problems against short ball and all of those things, he will probably come back into the test team when he's ready. You know,
yeah.
Goes away. So there's another one, you know, that middle order, number three, number four. I mean, that he's probably more a replacement for Rahane at number five. You know, that's the one. So I think there'll be an opening batsman replacement that they will need to look at. So yeah, it'll be interesting, that one. Coming back to the test series, and we said, like, you know, we look at the whole WT scene, etc. But back into the sort of, you know, test match, obviously, the two standout players, Ashwin in bowling and Jaiswal in batting. I mean, his batting was, like, we'll probably come to Ashwin in a second, but Jaiswal first, his batting was, like, you know, phenomenal in the sense of the hunger that was there to, like, you know, go on and score a big one. It's not just get 100 and get out. He just still carried on, like, you know, sort of going on to get a bigger one. So I think, yes, there'll be, like, you know, a lot more sterner tests for him to come. This West Indies bowling, not just the bowling, we'll probably also touch on the pitch as well. Like, you know, it wasn't the greatest, you know, so, but again, he can only score against what is in front of him.
Yeah, you can blame. I think Jared Kimber touched upon this point. He said, you know, leave the spin aspect of it. West Indies are still a really quality good bowling side in their conditions, and for somebody who's making a debut, coming in and knocking that many big runs, and really he was well on set to take double century, which would have been phenomenal. But nevertheless, you can't, you know, question a player's caliber just because the opposition is weak. I mean, what he also mentioned was that great players absolutely demolish mediocre attacks. So, which is what SSV Jaiswal did. It's also, I watched the game. What I noticed was his shot selection was fantastic. He was aware. He was, you know, kind of looking at calming himself down. After you play a bad shot, you know, he kind of puts that behind and moves on. So there are lots of those traits. He looked part. You know, he'd never had the nerves, or you can see from his body language, he was so settled and calm. So, yeah, I think that's a very big positive. Obviously, you know, the bandwagon will go like, oh, you should score centuries against SENA countries and all that, but you have to start somewhere. And he has started in the right way possible.
Yeah, so that's all he can do. No, and as you say, like, no, the standard tests will come when he goes away to South Africa, maybe Australia next year. You know, in terms of, you know, his and essentially, the moment you start to play international cricket, in, you know, opposition will start to, like, you know, pick up out your batting, and the bowlers will start to, like, you know, look at chinks, you know, vulnerabilities, and all of those things. Essentially, in his batting, you know, what weaknesses are there, etc. Yeah, so we'll see. Ashwin, on the other hand, you know, the other standout player in this test match, you know, his bowling 12 wickets kind of showed what we were missing. There is no guarantee that, you know, had he played the WTC final, that India would have won, but it kind of laid it bare what we were missing in that WTC final.
Oh, yeah. That definitely laid it bare. We were discussing as well as to how much of a tactical blunder that was. It also goes to show the need for us to have a refresh, because clearly, you know, on what basis are you picking up somebody? Because it's not like he hasn't taken wickets in this thing. We really needed that enforcer, given the number of left-handers in Australian batting lineup. It beggars belief that Ashwin was dropped. And he also has gone on to the interview to say, yeah, I've started to move beyond, and so on and so forth, which goes to show that he was hurt and he's found a way to adjust and move on, which is good and says great things about his characters.
Yeah, so that's probably, you know, kind of where that's moved on. I mean, we talk about, like, you know, a lot of, I think there's been a lot written and etc. talk about Ashwin's bowling. The other thing I did, a couple of other pieces from this test match was, like, you know, Kohli in itself, and I wanted to touch, I mean, his first boundary, like, you know, there was a lot made that his first boundary came off after he faced 80 balls. And even, it just didn't seem like, you know, here was a batsman who was in, like, you know, at the peak of his form. He seemed to, like, you know,
yeah,
so much, or he was almost, like, you know, battling against himself to score the runs. I wouldn't say it was an ugly watch, but it was, like, you know, it was clear that, you know, he was battling against himself to, like, you know, make sure he stayed. And eventually, like, the shot that he got out to was, in my view, a poor shot, you know,
Absolutely.
All the hard work he had done, it may well have been a lapse in concentration, you know, like, you know, he should have known, like, you know, there was a fielder there. And in fact, that was, I think, Rakeem Karnwal's first over after he had been away for, like, you know, for a day and a half. First thing he came was a bounce, and, you know, the leg trap was set for him, and he fell into it. So, but I'm hoping, like, you know, sort of, it's given him a lot of confidence, and, you know, yes, he got that 100 earlier this year against Australia, but it also feels like, you know, he's struggling to get back his timing and everything else.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, taking that many deliveries is not good for your concentration, especially when the situation doesn't demand that. You know, it's an average attack. You know, you should be going out and bossing. If Kohli himself wouldn't play like that in any of the shorter formats, right? I like one thing that England said in the Ashes series, that we would approach it like an ODI game. You take time, but you start to rotate strike, and you don't never shut shop. So I think that's a very important point that Kohli seemed to have missed, and so for you to get 80. I mean, he took a long time to get settled. That didn't seem like, against a very average bowling attack, especially when Jaiswal and Rohit Sharma have already scored centuries. For you to take that long is not the correct thing to do, and one of these deliveries would rear up, will have the name written. So having played a lot of cricket in that mindset, as Kohli had done, I know for sure that if you try to linger about, you are going to get out, and you're going to get out. He missed a century. That's my view of it. It's an easy 30 runs. He could have scored and edged towards one more in his milestone. I'm sure he realizes that as well.
So hopefully, like, you know, be interesting to see how he plays in the second test, and then, you know, ongoing.
Yeah.
How it works out.
One of the things I'm coming back to, I know we moved towards individual performances, but also on the team selection and the team, you would want to use youngsters and bring up people like Sarfraz Khan, which is another notable name that we missed. We are discussing potentials. You know, I think there seems to be a hesitancy. If it was other countries, they would have clearly moved beyond and given people rest ahead of the World Cup and say, you guys go ahead and practice shorter formats if possible, or just take a break before you regroup for the World Cup, which is an ICC event, which is what is important. We will get youngsters to play against West Indies, which would have been a much more, you know, a viable thing to do. I do feel that India missed the opportunity. The selectors and the think tank have missed an opportunity here to groom youngsters and give them exposure in foreign conditions, away conditions, when they clearly had a chance to do that rather than sticking with the old guns. It just shows lack of forethought, vision. What's the point in Kohli or Rohit Sharma going and knocking 100 against a very mediocre team? Does no one any good?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I mean, you could have done that way, like, you know, where if you want Kohli and Rohit Sharma came back to play the ODI series, yeah, etc. But they, I suppose the other side of the argument, they would be like, you know, they have at least three youngsters in, you know, Ishan Kishan sort of made his test debut, Vijay Sawal made his debut, and then Mukesh is gone. Whether he gets to play in the second test or not, you know, as a bowler, we don't know, because the bowling isn't really strong. In some ways, maybe it's because of the fact that, you know, the bowling is fairly weak. I guess they wouldn't have known before they landed in that they would be, like, you know, it's a good way to segue into the kind of pitches discussion, is to say that they would have been landed given a strip that looked more at home in Mumbai than, you know, in, you know, for a Shakotla Delhi sort of track,
yeah,
rather than the one in Dominica is the one. So, you know, so therefore I think with that in place, really India's lack of firepower in the pace bowling department wasn't felt, because Ashwin, you know, running right, you know, with his 12 wickets and Jadeja picking up, etc. But would have been a different one if they had got something that was more suited to Kemar Roach, Jason Holder, or Alzari Joseph, to see how India's pace bowling would have performed.
Yeah, West Indies typically have had low bouncy wickets, and, you know, spinners have always played a part. But I agree, at least on the first couple of days of the test match, you would want to have some, you know, what we call as sporting wickets, you know, where everybody has some chance to do something. Yeah, we'll see. You know, hopefully the next test that they play, you know, if they have a quicker, pacier, bouncier wicket, that will put Yashasvi Jaiswal and the likes to test against the three names that you mentioned, Alzari, Joseph, Holder, and Kemal Roach. I mean, Kemal Roach is not been the same Kemal Roach after his accident. His pace has dropped. He lacked that bite, but still a really good bowler.
Yeah. It's, well, let's say they're heading to, like, you know, Port of Spain. So it'd be interesting to see how it is. But the it's not so much as, like, you know, sort of low on slow. It was done from, like, day one. You think, like, you know, they've gone, I mean, the fact that West Indies actually used 9 bowlers was surprising, like, you know, that's how poor their bowling was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 9 bowlers. the one, I guess, you know, shining light for West Indies was, like, you know, Ali Khatanas. Young man making his debut. He, while Ashwin and Jaiswal's performance overshadowed, he was, like, you know, in all, both batting, bowling and fielding, essentially in both innings, etc. Like a player who's here to stay.
Definitely. I mean, I was telling, I was watching the game, that I expected especially in the first innings, to score about 47 runs in the middle order when there was a top order collapse at a decent strike rate as well. He did seem to be settled. He did seem to have the player who could handle the situation.
Yeah, and
especially and also, against a really good attack as well. So you can,
And also someone who can bowl, like, you know, so offering them another spin option. It does develop both of them. They could look at, like, you know, sort of a holder replacement in the middle order as an all rounder.
Absolutely.
So it'll be like, you know, interesting to see how he develops. Definitely want to keep an eye on, you know, over the next test, a few things. I mean, overall, I must say I was disappointed overall with, given how, yes, the, you know, the fact that West Indies didn't qualify for the ODI World Cup for the first time and all of that. But that said, I was expecting the test team to perform slightly better at home than given the last five test series that they've played, where they beat England, Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc.
Yeah.
I was definitely expecting a lot more fight than this one. Wasn't expecting.
Absolutely. At no point in the entire 3 days did it ever seem like, ever in that entire passage of play, that India were in trouble, and then West Indies were, you know, kind of on the uneven keel in any of these sessions. That goes to show the contrast between these two sides. Usually you'll have one or two sessions that, you know, a good test playing our nation comes up. I think more so it was Virat Kohli's own creation that he kind of slowed down in the middle, giving the view that the bowlers were on the top. Really, it was no match. Yeah, I do agree. I'm a big fan of West Indies cricket too. Want to see them do well. It's good for world cricket to have them back in their full glory. But the situation is not. I think it's also a testament to the talent pool that is coming through for them. You know, the options that are available, especially in the limited over formats, is starting to hurt their test availability.
So we'll see how it goes, and hopefully, as you said, like, you know, better test pitches, etc. I mean, the other one, you know, probably not for this one, you know, while we wrap this episode of the podcast, maybe we want to look at next week, is the start of cricket in the US, the Major League.
Yeah.
We'll probably have a look at that, hopefully, like, you know, next time around. Or sort of, you know, the yellow and blues, one of the yellow teams, Texas Super Kings. We'll have a look at them and see how they are performing, etc. So we'll probably keep an eye out on that next one. As usual, you know, do leave your thoughts and ratings and subscribe to this podcast. You know, it's available on all of the major podcasting apps. You can have Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. We are also on Twitter in at Yellow and Blues. Keep any thoughts and, you know, feedback coming on, and we'll definitely take that on board. Until next time, you know, we obviously, the next test starts in a couple of days' time. We haven't really looked at the preview, but basically, I think from an India's perspective, it's more of the same.
Yeah, it's a bit more.
We'll review the end of the test match and the series, you know, next week, and also look ahead to the ODI and cricket in America. So until next week, from me and Venkat, whatever you're doing, have a safe one. Thanks. Bye. Yeah.